each Saturday morning for a few hours, so you're welcome to come along. This Wednesday, Pastor Oscar's running the Roma Street Outreach, so be here at about 10 a.m. or at Roma Street at 11. They're going to preach the gospel, have a barbecue, come along for that. Don't forget Ministry School this Thursday night. Everyone's welcome at 7. Also, straight after the service today, Pastor Chris is running a Bible study in there. There'll be sandwiches, pizza. Anyone's welcome to come along and get to know others after the service. Also, the women's retreat is coming up 21st to the 23rd of May. See Kylie Watson. And the Freedom of Christ seminar is coming up this weekend. See Bronwyn if you want to find info. It's on Friday night and Saturday. And I've been to one of these before. They're very powerful. We saw a lot of people delivered of demons, delivered of addictions, healed, delivered. Amazing, powerful day. Pastor Uriel and Tony are a great couple. Please see Bronwyn if you can be there this Friday night or Saturday night. And you can get set free. Get delivered. It's amazing. So that's all the... Any other announcements today? I think I've got them all covered. Praise God. Wonderful. All right. Well, let's pray as we open up God's Word. Heavenly Father, today, as we look at your Word, we pray your Holy Spirit will give us revelation. We pray that we won't be distracted, that we won't look around and miss out on your message. Lord, we want to hear the word of the Lord today. And I'm preaching to myself today. Help me receive this word today, that I can tame my tongue. Lord, that each of us can get a revelation of the power of the tongue, that we can speak life and blessing and not speak negativity and curses and gossip and slander. Give us wisdom with our words, we pray. Holy Spirit, fill us up. Come and say, Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Spirit, speak to me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, if you're taking notes, today's message is called Speak Life. And we're going to look at God's Word. I've got a whole bunch of great Proverbs we're going to walk through today. And we're going to look at the book of James. Proverbs 11:9 says, evil words destroy one's friends, but wise discernment rescues the godly. Who wants to use wise discernment? Who wants to rescue the godly? Well, we've got to feed ourselves on God's Word. We've got to let God's Word flow through us. Every day I get up and I say, Lord, I pray you'll fill me today with your Holy Spirit. Give me the right words to speak today. Help me not waste my words. And then I have that song, I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. I speak Jesus over my family. I speak Jesus over my friends. I speak Jesus. I speak the name of Jesus. I start the day worshiping and praising God and speaking the name of Jesus. How many know there's power in the name of Jesus? And I know whatever has been attacking us through the night, it's defeated in the name of Jesus. Whatever was attacking me yesterday, it's gone in the name of Jesus. Start the day and we speak the name of Jesus over our families, over our job, over our finances, over our health. We speak the name of Jesus. Because evil words can destroy one's friends. We don't want to speak evil, amen? But wise discernment rescues the godly. When we speak life, when we speak God's words and we have discernment, it can rescue people, it can save people. We need to train ourselves to speak life and blessing wherever we go. Today we're going to look at some practical teaching on how to tame the tongue. Have a look at this quote from George Whitefield, famous preacher. He said, God forbid that I should travel with anybody a quarter of an hour without speaking of Christ to them. Somebody say amen. Just like Doreen shared. She couldn't keep it to herself, could she? She had to speak her testimony. We should all realize the power of our words, the power of our tongue when we speak. You know, just last week, I was at the Gold Coast visiting my sister and her five kids. Oh my goodness, what a job, hey? And we were a bit exhausted, so we jumped in the spa, had a bit of a time, you know, chilling out. And there was this Jewish couple that came and sat in the spa with me from South Africa. Hey, Butte, how are you doing? Beautiful couple. Anyway, they came and sat with me in the spa. And you know, it was interesting because in the spa where we stay, my uncle has these Wyndham Resort points and shouts us free holidays. So it was such a blessing. So we're in this Wyndham Resort. And anyway, there's this big blue cross there, a neon blue cross. Couldn't get much brighter in the Catholic church next to us. And the next bit is a Jewish synagogue. They're next to each other. You know, it's like a joke, isn't it? You know, a Catholic priest and a rabbi walk into a... But anyway, so they're next to each other. And the Jewish synagogue does a soup kitchen every Friday for the homeless. Isn't that amazing? So beautiful, you know. And so I just started telling them, isn't that amazing that there's a Catholic Church with the Blue Cross, and, you know. And they said, oh, yeah, we're Jewish. And I said, oh, interesting, okay. I'm curious. I said, I've been to Israel a couple of times, and I've seen the place where Jesus was born in Bethlehem. I've been to Nazareth where he was raised. I've been to the Sea of Galilee. I tried to walk on the water. It didn't work, but I saw the place where he walked on the water. I saw the place where he preached the gospel, and I saw Golgotha, the place he was crucified. And I saw the empty tomb, and he's not there. It was the most amazing time of my life to see the place where Jesus... I'm just curious, what do you guys think about Jesus? You know, I thought I might as well be bold. I've only got a few minutes in the spa before we get too wrinkly and got to get out, you know? And it was fascinating. The guy, he was like holding his... like a good Jewish man, holding his cards close to his chest, and said, oh, yeah, well, you know, I've heard lots of stories, and, you know, I'm not sure about this. But then the girl, she said, I actually reckon there's more to Jesus than what we realize. She said, how could his life have impacted so many people after 2,000 years? Like, she started saying all these amazing, and I thought, oh, this is interesting. Anyway, so it turns out they live in Bondi on the same street as the Jews for Jesus shop, which is my friend Bob Mendelsohn runs that, you know. He's preached at our church before. He's done a Passover thing for us here before. And they know Bob Mendelsohn. They know the Jews for Jesus shop, but they've never really gone in there. And, you know, so anyway, so I ended up sharing the gospel with them, had a great conversation with them. And, you know, the Lord gave me the right words to say. And how many of you know, it's not up to us. It's the Holy Spirit that draws people. We've just got to be faithful. We've just got to have the conversation. We've just got to sow the seed. Some sow, some water, some reap. You know, I didn't lead them to Jesus in that spa. Could have been handy. Could have baptized them straight away. You know, could have been awesome. But you know what? Actually, I should just mention, we are having baptisms next Sunday too, by the way. And we've got two people that have told me they're going to get baptized. And hopefully one more, because I led one lady to the Lord yesterday just before the New Hope Care night. And hopefully she's going to get baptized as well. So we've got at least three people getting baptized next Sunday. And we're actually going to go to the heated pool at Newmarket after the church, after the service. So if you do want to get baptized, please let me know. So anyway, I texted my mate Bob Mendelsohn. I said, you wouldn't believe it. I just witnessed to this Jewish couple. And they're going to come and say hi to you at the Jews for Jesus shop. And he said, I'll get my prayer chain praying. So just think about that. Crazy young evangelist from Brisbane meets Jewish couple, witnesses to them in the spa. Now all these messianic Jewish people are praying for this couple. And they're going to go visit Bob, and he's going to lead them to Yeshua, the Messiah. Hallelujah. Friends, I've got to tell you, there's power in the tongue when we use it. We can rescue the godly, as it says there in Proverbs. God forbid that I should travel with anybody a quarter of an hour without speaking of Christ to them. We've got to use God's word powerfully whenever we get the chance. This week, my son Josh, I'm going to embarrass him right now. Where's Josh? He's up in the sound desk. Josh, we were driving to school, and we always pray on the way to school. And he said, Dad, could I have a couple of Vision 180 devotionals? And I'm like, okay, yeah. He said, yeah, I want to give them out at school. That's my boy. Proud dad, you know. Anyway, so we prayed over them, and he then told me that at the end, when I picked him up that day, he said, oh, yeah, I gave it out to this kid and this kid, and I was able to talk to him about what's in it, about the Bible. And I said, who knows? He said, who knows what's going to happen? And I said, that's my boy. You just got to take that opportunity. No matter how young you are, no matter how old you are, whether it be giving out a gospel tract or a devotional, sharing in a spa, whatever, we've got to take the opportunity. Last week I shared about a guy that got saved in the triads in Hong Kong. And he got saved because Jackie Pullinger used to hug him and love him. And he was a heroin addict and he was a millionaire. And he ended up crashing and you know, hitting rock bottom. He came to know Jesus, came to Australia and started three discipleship houses and a great ministry called Fishers of Men. And an inspirational story, Bobby Mearns. And then Johnny Malzard comes up to me after the service and he says, when I was a street kid, I was the first kid that Bobby led to Jesus. And here he is in our church today, all these years later. Look at him. Praise God. All because Jackie Pullinger hugged Bobby Mearns in Hong Kong and he gave his life to Jesus. He came to Australia and started witnessing the street kids, and this rough, young-looking punk named John Malzard gave his life to Jesus. And now John's coming to this church, helping out reach to others, paying it forward. This is the power of the tongue, amen? The power of one word can multiply and be cumulative. And this is why the way the kingdom grows. We're faithful with a little and then it gets more and more and more. Amen. Let's never underestimate the power of our words. Dwight L. Moody said this, when a man is filled with the word of God, you cannot keep him still. Come on, wiggle in your seats, everyone, a bit wiggle. Just come on, wiggle for me. You cannot keep him still. If a man has got the word, he must speak or die. You know, it says in Jeremiah that God's word was like a fire shut up in my bones. I had to let it out. Anybody love the word of God? I love it. I'm preaching to myself today. I'm preaching myself happy. I was a bit tired this morning, I've got to say, after a big night last night. But I started getting in that prayer room this morning. My African sister started praying. She started praying in the spirit, prophesying over the church. And it's like the word of God made me come alive. Friends, I'm telling you, if you're a bit flat, if you're a bit dry, preach yourself happy in the word of God. Pray yourself happy in the word of God. You know, in the mornings I've been praying. I had a guy come up here last week to me and he said, I just wanted to say, that radio show you do, History Makers, you've been doing it for 15 years now. And he asked me how long I've been doing it. I said, 15 years. And he said, God ain't finished with it yet. God's going to open up doors for you on commercial radio. And it's going to be heard by many, many more people than what you realize. He said, don't despise the day of small beginnings. God's going to bless that radio ministry. And I really needed to hear that word. Because last year, because of COVID, I didn't get to do many interviews like I normally do. And in December, I was about to close the radio show and give it up and go, oh, well, that was a nice season, but I was going to quit. And I thought, oh, well, I had a go. It was okay. But then the Lord really spoke to me and he said, Matt, I ain't finished with that ministry yet. And so throughout this year, I've been doing lots of amazing interviews. God's really raised up some amazing people for interviews, you know. And I'm getting a lot more feedback than I normally do. But I've been thinking, oh, maybe this year I should quit it. It's been a while, you know. But this word came last week. And how many know sometimes when you get a word from God, it can be just that encouragement you need. The right word at the right time can spur you on. So in my prayer time now, I'm saying, thank you, Lord, for that word. I'm calling it into being. More people are going to hear that radio show on iTunes, on Facebook, on different radio stations. More people are going to be born again because of those testimonies. God, you're going to use that. I call it into being, amen? The power of life and death is in the tongue. We can speak life over the word that's been given to us. We can call it into being. Maybe you've received a word about something. Maybe God's spoken to you and you've got this dream. You've got this goal, you've got this vision in life, and maybe it's been hard. That's normal. Christianity ain't the love boat, friends. The love boat. Da, 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 da. Some people think that's what church should be, you know, the love boat. You know, it's all nice and there's never any battles. Oh, it's all okay. It's all hugs. Oh, it's all fine. And if you know, we're on a battleship here. We will get attacks. We will get persecution. Look at the Apostle Paul, you know. He was pressed but not crushed, persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. But he said, I'm trading my sorrows for the joy of the Lord. Amen. You'll get persecution. You'll get battles. You'll get attacks. But you can speak life. You can call your prophecy into being. You can be raised up to be who God's called you to be. You've got to just speak the word of God and then follow what God tells you to do. Amen. So I'm calling my prophecy into being. Amen. Thomas Watson said this, God's given us two ears, but one tongue, to show that we should be swift to hear, but slow to speak. God has set a double fence before the tongue, the teeth and the lips, to teach us to be wary that we offend not with our tongue. Like I said before, the power of life and death's in the tongue. God's given us two ears, so we should be more listeners then we should be speakers. James says, be slow to speak, quick to listen. And you know, there's a lot of people, I just got to say, a lot of people with verbal diarrhea these days. Not looking at anyone in particular, I'm just, you know, looking. A lot of people just don't know when to call a long story short, you know. A lot of people just ramble, you know. Even online, people just ramble and post all sorts of things, you know, way too much. Me included sometimes. Everyone says amen. We've got to be careful with what we say, careful with what we post, careful with the conversations we get into. And we've got to be careful not to speak death, but to speak life. We've got to be good listeners. Proverbs 11:12. It is foolish to belittle a neighbour. A person with good sense remains silent. Proverbs 11:9. Evil words destroy one's friends, but wise discernment rescues the godly. Proverbs 15:1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a hard word stirs up anger. How many times have you been in a heated situation, like maybe Josh and Grace are about to kill each other? And as a dad, all I want to do is, right, you two, off to your room. You're both getting a bell. And you just add fuel to the fire. Because in the flesh, that's how you want to respond as a dad, you know, as a bloke, you know. I've learnt through this proverb, gentle words bring a gentle answer turns away wrath. I've learned just to go, whoa, come on, take a chill pill, calm your farm. You know, this is a house of peace. Don't repay evil with evil, but overcome evil with good. Be a blessing, love each other. Come on, let's have a family hug, you know, and they're like, oh, dad. A gentle answer will turn away wrath, amen? Just learn to speak peacefully and lovingly. This is a house of peace. We always say that in our house, and we've got this big chalkboard that says, be peaceful in there, and I'm constantly reminding the kids, be peaceful, don't yell, don't fucking. Proverbs 15:4, gentle words bring life, and who wants life and health? Gentle words bring life and health. It's actually, I believe, that your health is connected to your words. I pray for healing, I thank God for my healing, I walk in healing, I speak words of life, and I believe it's connected to our health. Gentle words bring life and health, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Be careful not to be a gossiper or a liar or to spread rumors, you know, all that kind of stuff. Be wise with our words. Proverbs 16:28 says, a perverse person stirs up conflict and a gossip separates close friends. Let's be careful as a church not to gossip. Let's be careful. If you hear something from someone, you know, don't let it go on. Gossip dies when it hits a wise person's ears. Why? Because it's never repeated by a wise person. You know, some people, they say, oh, I want to tell you something about Cecily, but it's so we can pray for her, okay? She's got a terrible temper. You should say, oh, my goodness. Don't tell anyone, but we're going to pray for her, okay? So that's why I'm telling you, you know. That's the wrong way to raise a prayer point, okay? You don't say, oh, this person does this, this, and this, and this, and so we're going to pray for them, okay? You know, just say, hey, we're going to pray for this person. You don't have to rattle off all the things that they're doing wrong. And Cecily isn't an angry person. She's a lovely, peaceful person, I should just say. But be careful not to gossip. Loose lips sink ships. If you can't say anything good, don't say anything at all. We've all heard those sayings before. We've got to tame our tongue. My auntie Jill passed away 2 weeks ago. She was my great auntie Jill, 88 years old, and she played the piano at the Stewarttown Anglican Church once a month up until about a year ago. And she was the sweetest, most precious, loving auntie anyone could ever have. She'd bring me up and say, hello, Matty. How's Carol and the kids? Oh, how's the church? Are you still preaching the gospel, Matty? Oh, you know, she was such a beautiful, beautiful woman of God. And I know she prayed for me and prayed for our family. She was a great woman of God. I spoke to her on the phone about 6 weeks ago. She'd been in hospital. We knew she was, you know, not doing well, and we prayed for her and everything. And I knew she'd played piano in the Anglican Church all her life. I knew she had the fruit of the Spirit, the most beautiful, sweetest woman, speaking sweet words all the time. But I just didn't ever know whether she was born again. And I asked her, did you ever go to a Billy Graham crusade? You know, because I know my nan and her had been to a Billy, you know. And she goes, no, I never actually did go, but, you know, Joan went, but I never went. I said, oh, okay. I said, you know, Billy Graham does this thing called the Sinner's Prayer where he prays, you know. I said, did you ever pray that? And she goes, oh, I'm not sure if I did, you know. And I said, well, you know, I could pray it with you right now on the phone if you like. She goes, okay, Maddie, let's do it. So about 6 weeks ago, we prayed the Sinner's Prayer on the phone together, and I was just, oh, thank you, Jesus, that, you know, like, I think she was already saved, but you just want to be, you know, insurance policy, just, you know, just in case, just so I know that I know, you know. And so, and I've just been asked to speak at her funeral this week. We're going down to Stewarttown, which is 9.5 hours drive, so pray for us. Carol and I are going on Tuesday morning, and the funeral's on Wednesday. We'll be back on Thursday night late, and my mum's looking after the kids for the week, so please pray for her as well. But you know what? I just know that at her funeral, there won't be a bad word spoken about her, because she was the sweetest, most loving person who just spoke life all the time. How will you be remembered? If today was your last day and your funeral was in a week or two, how would people remember you for the words you spoke, the way you lived? I just saw in the news that there's a Chinese space shuttle that is expected to crash somewhere in the world, somewhere this weekend. No, it's empty, yeah. It's empty. Has it landed yet? Has anyone heard? It's still going, and they got no idea where it's going to land. This could be it, everyone. I think the chances are pretty minuscule, but today could be the day that a Chinese rocket lands on your head and you die. I'm just telling you. How would people remember you if today was the day? Are you praying and saying, Lord, take me now, or Lord, may it miss me now? Okay. I'd be happy to go up. I'm ready, but I think I've got more of a job to do yet, amen? A friend of mine said to me a couple of years ago, the Lord hasn't taken me yet because I haven't finished my assignment yet. You know, we've all got an assignment from God. Have you fulfilled your assignment? Not yet. I'm giving it everything I've got. I want to die empty. I want to die knowing I've given all of my gifts and talents, everything I can for God. I don't think it's going to get me today. Let's look at James chapter 3, verse 1 to 18. Now, we had a youth camp a couple of weeks ago, and I challenged all the kids in the youth to read the book of James across the weekend. And all these kids reported back to me how much it impacted them. Who loves the book of James? It's like the book of Proverbs for the New Testament. It's a brilliant book. You know, Martin Luther, the great reformer, thought it should have been taken out of the canon of Scripture. He didn't like it. I can't believe it, but he had some problems with it. It's a bit of a controversial book for a few different reasons, but I believe it's part of the 66 books. I believe everything in the Bible, from the maps to the from Genesis to Revelation, I believe all of it, you know. So it's a good book, the book of James. Takes about 35 minutes to read. This week at our Wednesday night men's group, Ross actually shared an encouraging word, and he challenged everyone in the men's group to read the book of James. He didn't know I was going to be preaching on the book of James this Sunday. So maybe God's telling us to read the book of James. So I'm just going to throw out a quick altar call. Who's going to read the book of James sometimes this week? Okay, that didn't work. Let me try it again. When a preacher who is your shepherd, who God has called to teach and equip the saints, when he challenges you to do something, God is watching. I'm getting a bit hellfire and brimstone today to keep you awake. Is that all right? Who's going to read the book of James this week? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I should get a photo. That's the best altar call I've ever done. I see that hand. Let's look at James 3, 1 to 18. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they're steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Don't hold back, James. Verse 7, all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. Everyone say pure. Then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Everyone say harvest. Who wants a harvest of righteousness? Be a peacemaker that sows peace. Let's unpack a few of those verses. In verse 1, Jesus warned that not many of us should be teachers. I take that very seriously. I know Pastor Chris and I have talked a number of times about what we're preaching on in the church, about what God has called us to preach and teach on. And we need to be very careful to make sure that we are honoring God's word. We don't want to teach too far extreme that way, too far extreme that way. We don't want to teach our theories, because that's when you get into hot water. I've got lots of great theories, and I can talk about theories till the cows come home. But what good's that going to do? I want to preach God's word, amen? I want to rightly divide the word of truth, because I'm going to be judged one day for what I've said. And I reckon I've said some dodgy things over the years, to be honest. But I reckon as I mature, as I grow, as I study and feed myself on God's word, I'm getting closer and closer to the center of what God's called me to do. I reckon I'm about 99% right with my doctrine right now. Maybe 98, I don't know. Maybe I should be a bit more humble. Maybe 90, I don't know. As Pastor Chris said last week, and I loved his message last week on the Great Commission, he said he has changed his views on things over the years. We've all changed our views on things over the years. And we need to major on the major things and minor on the minor things. The small things that are divisive, that are this extreme and that extreme, don't get caught up in foolish arguments. Don't get caught up in old wives' tales and, you know, all these theories and things that can go down a rabbit trail and argue. Anybody got time for that? Come on. We haven't got time for that stuff. We should focus on the good news and the word of God and the true doctrines of the church. It's part of the job as a pastor, as an apostolic oversight, to make sure that we are teaching the truth of God's word and not getting distracted on different extremes. We've got to focus on the true word of God. He says, not many of you should become teachers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We stumble in many ways. Anyone who's never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check. Jesus also warned in Luke 12, verse 48. He said, to whom much is given, much is required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask more. We've all been given a lot. To whom much is given, much is required. We've got to be wise with the words that we say. In verse 2, There's another version that says, if anyone does not stumble in the word, he is a perfect man. James provided a way to measure spiritual maturity for teachers and for all Christians. It's by the words we speak. It'll show whether we have spiritual maturity or whether we are immature in our walk with God by the words that we speak. Jesus demonstrated in Matthew 12, 34 to 37 that words are a revelation of what your heart is like. I love this passage from Jesus. You know, I heard a great testimony recently that Pastor Dale Stevenson was, he has this practice where he says to people, I'd like to read through the Bible with someone. Are you available for a coffee and we can read through the Bible together? And so he's been doing it with different people and they're coming to know Jesus through reading the Bible. It's a great tool of evangelism. And he said there was one guy that he was witnessing to and he said, oh, I don't like Christians. They're all hypocrites. They're all fake. And he said, well, let's have a look in the Bible about what Jesus said about the hypocrites. Maybe you'll agree with what he had to say. And he went to this passage. And after they read through it, the guy went, I like what Jesus has to say about hypocrites. I like Jesus. And he said, well, Christianity is actually about following Jesus, not about following Christians. You'll never find a perfect church. You'll find hypocrites in every church. And if you find a church that's perfect when you arrive, you'll ruin it because you're not perfect. There are some imperfect people here. I've just got to warn you. I've seen a few of them over the years, just quietly. I've been one of them. I am one of them. We're all imperfect. But if you look to Jesus, you'll find perfection, amen? This is what Jesus said to those Pharisees. Oh, we didn't like them. He said, you brood of vipers, how can you say, how can you who are evil say anything good? He didn't hold back. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. An evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. You know, we store things up in our heart through the eye gate, through the things we're looking at online, or the movies we're watching, or the people we're looking at, the places we go. That stores up things in our heart. Our ear gate, the music we listen to, the talkback radio, the whatever we listen to, the conversations we have, that goes in the ear gate and it stores up in the heart. The things that go into our life, into our heart, will come out in our life. What are you storing up in your heart? A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. I want to store up God's word in my heart, amen? I want to stir up faith. I want to store up goodness and mercy and humility and patience and love. I want to be filled up with that stuff so that it flows out of me. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you'll be acquitted, and by your words you'll be condemned. Now Jesus was telling this to the Pharisees. You've got to look at the context of a scripture to understand where it's coming from. And I do believe that when we come to Christ, all of our sins are forgiven. Amen? So every bad word I've spoken, it's forgotten. It's been cast into the sea of forgetfulness. And there's a sign there that says, no fishing. You can't drag up my past and hold it against me because it's gone. Gone. Amen? Washed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm redeemed. I'm saved. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody say amen. Everything that I've done that's a sin, every word that I've spoken is gone. And every word I speak in the future, I need to be careful to make sure I'm honoring God. Amen? And ask the Lord to forgive me every day. Part of the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. It's important every day to pray and thank the Lord for His forgiveness. To stumble in the word shows true, to not stumble in word shows true spiritual maturity. This is relevant to teachers who speak the word. We have so much more opportunity to sin with our tongue. We know it says in Proverbs that when words are many, sin is not absent, but he who guards his tongue is wise. The more you say, the more chance you have you'll sin. The less you say, the less chance you'll have of sinning. We stumble in the word ourselves because we boast, we exaggerate. A lot of evangelists, you know, speak evangelistically about things. I've learned to try and be a bit more honest, and I am more honest and truthful with the words I say as an evangelist. We need to be careful not to exaggerate and not to have selective reporting, saying this thing and not that thing. Let's be honest and truthful with our words. Let's not stumble in our word about the way we speak about others. Let's not be critical. Let's not gossip. Let's not slander or be cruel. Let's not be two-faced. Let's not be angry. Let's not be full of flattery or insincere words to gain favor. If the tongue is like a bit in the mouth of a horse or a rudder in a ship, it leaves us with the question, who holds the reins? Who's directing the rudder? Some people have no hands on the reins or the rudder and therefore say whatever comes into their mind. Others direct their tongue from their emotions or from aspects of their carnal nature. James points us towards having the Spirit of God working through the new man, setting direction, handing over the reins and the rudder of our tongue to the Holy Spirit. We've got to let the Holy Spirit give us the right words. Don't just say whatever comes into your mind. You know, I remember hearing J. John, the preacher, say when he came to Christ, his mum said, "You've been brainwashed." He said, "Mum, if you knew what was in my brain, it needed to be washed." We have all sorts of evil thoughts coming into our mind all the time. It's not a sin to have evil thoughts. It's a sin to act on them and to speak them out and to keep them. Amen. The Bible says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Reject those evil thoughts. When we pray, we say, "Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." You have a choice when a thought comes into your mind. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago in the battlefield of the mind. We've got to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Whatever is true, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, dwell upon these things. We've got to have a checkup from the neck up. We've got to stop our stinking thinking. We've got to change our thoughts. And when we get those evil thoughts, reject them and speak life, speak blessing. Lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. It reminds me of the monk that took a vow of silence. Couldn't say a word. But every 10 years he was allowed to say two words. So after 10 years at the monastery being nice and quiet and obedient, he's finally able to say two words to all the other monks. The first two words he said was, "Food bad." That was it. Another 10 years went by. Silent, silent, silent. Another 10 years went by. Had another two words and he said, "Bed hard." That was it. Another 10 years went by and he'd had enough. After the third time he said, "Oh, I quit." And he walked off. One of the monks said to the other one, "All he ever did was complain." Now, I love the idea, the concept of going away to a monastery and having a silence retreat and switching off all your devices and being quiet and being still before God. I reckon I'd struggle having a crack at that. But I like the concept of it. But in reality, it's not the solution. The solution is to tame our tongue. The solution is to ask the Holy Spirit to help us guard our tongue. The solution is to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Now, I'm giving you all these principles today about how to honor God with your mouth. And I don't want you to try and do them just by being good and being in the flesh and with your carnal nature, because no one can tame the tongue. James has already said that to us. It's only by the Holy Ghost that we can do it. It's not by might or by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. It's only when you have God's Holy Spirit, who is our counselor. You know, counseling's great. God bless Christian counselors. Therapy, awesome, awesome. Great ministry. I love it. I've been to counseling. It's good. It's a good thing to do. But the Holy Spirit is the best counselor, amen? The Holy Spirit is our teacher. He will lead us into all truth. Proverbs 12:25 says, "Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad." Who wants a glad heart? Learn to speak a good word. Speak life. Proverbs 16:24 says, "Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. Who wants health in their bones? Pleasant words flowing over you. You know, my friend Dave Tenson has released a bunch of CDs where he speaks blessing over people, and they're online as well. You can search it up, David Tenson, look up his website, and you can download them for free. Apparently, Justin Bieber's mum actually bought some at one stage. I don't know if it was for Justin or not, but he's doing it right now, praise God. Anyway, so, but you know what? And he told me that he gets all these people emailing him and contacting him saying, thank you. You've helped me go to sleep every night with your CDs. And wherever he preaches now, people just fall asleep because they're used to his voice. Just putting them to sleep. You know? Like half of you here today, just quietly. You're interceding, aren't you, Broman? Yeah. But you know what? They've sold like hotcakes all over the world because people need blessing. He just quotes these beautiful Bible verses and he's got this nice, gentle voice and, you know, he just speaks blessing in life. And there's one you can get for your kids, and we've played it in our kids' rooms because our kids have had, you know, nightmares and different night terrors and things in the past, and we would put that on and they'd sleep peacefully. We pray over our kids. We bless our kids. How many believe in the power of our words to speak blessing, to get rid of that anxiety, that depression that it talks about in Proverbs 12? 1 Corinthians 9, verse 19 to 93 is a passage that I really feel to use today. I preached at Broken Hill a few weeks ago and preached 7 times across the weekend. And man, I was exhausted. I was going from one place to another. I did a pastor's lunch, a minister's fraternal lunch. I did a youth night and 6 kids got saved on that youth night, praise God. I did a men's breakfast on the Saturday morning. I did an evangelism seminar on the Saturday afternoon. And then I preached 3 times at the Sunday. And every crowd I spoke to, I had to tailor my message for that crowd. A little town like Broken Hill, 20,000 people there. Beautiful country hospitality. But I had to speak a message that related to the pastors at that level. I had to speak a message that related to the youth and be all cool and do a rap, you know, and all that kind of stuff. I had to do a message for the men's at the men's breakfast and grunt and talk about meat and things like that, you know. I had to do a message for the evangelism seminar, you know. And then on the Sunday morning, I was only booked at the Church of Christ, but the AOG guys, the ACC church, their pastor couldn't make it. So I got a text on the Saturday saying, can you preach at our church as well? So I had to do 9:30 at the ACC and we're all Pentecostal, rah, 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 that was awesome. You know. Then I was at the Church of Christ, was a bit more middle of the ground. Then I did an Anglican in the afternoon. I had to be, you know, thank you. But I had to preach to the crowd that I was at. And the Holy Spirit helped me calm down throughout the day, you know. Helped me to reach the crowd I was at. And I want to challenge you, wherever you go, you've got to learn to read the crowd. Barry was just telling me yesterday that Pastor Oscar at West End does a great job there every Friday ministering to people. And Barry said, Oscar's got a gift of reading the crowd where he preaches the gospel. He changes the way he does it to the crowd, you know. He said the other day he saw one guy, and he went up to him and said, hey, give me a hug. And the guy went, no. And Pastor Oscar had a word of knowledge and said, you've never been hugged by your father, have you? And the guy said, no, how did you know that? And he said, oh, God told me. And then he led him to Jesus. How do you know we've got to be ready for a word of knowledge, ready to preach for the crowd where we're at? It says in 1 Corinthians 9, 19, even though I'm a free man with no master, I've become a slave to all people to bring many to Christ. When I was with the Jews, I lived like a Jew to bring the Jews to Christ. When I was with those who follow the Jewish law, I too lived under that law. Even though I'm not subject to that law, I did so I could bring Christ to those who are under the law. When I'm with the Gentiles who do not follow the Jewish law, I too live apart from that law so I can bring them to Christ. But I do not ignore the law of God, I obey the law of Christ. When I'm with those who are weak, I share their weaknesses, for I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find common ground. Everyone say common ground. I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessings. You want to receive blessings? Share the good news. There is a blessing that comes when you share the good news. Paul was a Jew to the Jews. He was a Greek to the Greeks. To the weak, he was weak. He did anything he could so that he may win some, to have common ground with them. I want to challenge you with your words. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Let your conversation always be seasoned and full of grace. Paul wrote to the church in Colossians, to the people in Colossians. We've got to learn to speak with common ground. Ask the Lord to give you the right word at the right time. I spoke to one lady recently. She said, I'm struggling a bit because, you know, you and Oscar and Chris and all you guys in the church, you're always talking about leading people to Jesus. She said, I don't feel like that's my gifting. I can't do it, you know. And I feel really bad and I'm beating myself up because I can't do it. And I said, look, you don't have to copy what we do. You've got to find your gift and use your gift for the body of Christ. Because some water, some sow, some harvest. I said to this sister, you are like a mum in this church. You just got to love people and hug people and care for people. That's your gift. Maybe at some stage you'll lead someone to Jesus, and we're all called to lead people to Jesus at some stage. But some have that gift of evangelism and they are doing it all the time. Some have different gifts. Some have the gift of hospitality or the gift of administration. Whatever your gift is, use that gift to build up the body of Christ. Amen. I said, don't compare. Comparison is the thief of joy. Don't compare yourself with someone else and go, I wish I was like them. Be the best you that God's called you to be. Amen. Play your part in the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:6, Paul says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. Who wants to get rewarded? You'll get rewarded according to your labor. I'm looking forward to that. Well done, good and faithful servant. Come and enter into the joy of the Lord. Here's your reward. I want that reward. I want to be more heavenly minded than earthly minded. Amen? For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. Every one of you is part of the body of Christ. You've all got a part to play. I want to challenge you to be wise with the words you speak. Be loving. Speak life. Speak blessing. Speak healing. Be a peacemaker who sows peace, and you'll reap a harvest of righteousness. As you labor for God's word, you'll receive a great reward here on this earth and in the life to come. Use your words to build up, encourage each other daily, even more so as we get ready for the return of the Lord. Amen. Let's stand to our feet and let's pray. Heavenly Father, today we want to offer ourselves to you afresh. We want to ask, Lord, that you'll help us to tame our tongue. We can't do it in the flesh. We can't do it with our carnal nature. We can't do it in our own strength. It's only by your Holy Spirit that we can truly tame our tongue and speak life. God, help us to speak words of healing, words of peace, words of blessing wherever we go. And God, forgive us for our careless words. Forgive us for cursing people and gossiping and slandering. Forgive us, Lord, for the evil that's come out of our mouth. Wash us whiter than snow today. Thank you that through your blood our sins are forgiven, and that we are being transformed by the renewing of our mind. The old is gone, the new has come. We are new creations. Help us walk with the resurrection power of being new creations in Christ Jesus. Help us speak life wherever we go. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll just do that work in our hearts today. And with every eye closed and every head bowed, maybe today you don't know that you're forgiven. Maybe today you're not sure whether Christ is your Lord and Savior and your sins are forgiven. In just a moment, I'm going to pray a prayer where you can ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins, to forgive you for every bad word you've ever spoken. so that when you stand before God on that judgment day, God won't see your sin. He will see Jesus. And Jesus was perfect. And the blood of Jesus will have washed away all your sins. And then he'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. It's only through Christ that we can be saved. Today, if you're ready to make that decision to ask Jesus to forgive you of all your sins, we're going to pray a prayer in a moment to ask Jesus to forgive us of our sins. If you want to pray that today and mean it from your heart, I just want you to slip up your hand so I can see it today. Is there anyone today that wants to say yes to Jesus? I see that, buddy, that's awesome. I see that too, that's great. Who else is there? Put your hand up high so I can see it. Who wants to give their life to Jesus today and have their sins forgiven? Up the back there, I see that too, that's awesome. Anybody else? Put your hand up real high. We've got three people here so far. Anybody else that wants to give their life to Jesus? Put your hand up real high so I can see it today. It's a day to acknowledge that we're a sinner and we need Jesus as our Savior. I just feel to ask one more time, if you haven't put your hand up yet and you want to surrender your life to Jesus, to know that your sins are forgiven, no one looking around, if that's you, just slip your hand up real high. Anybody else, just slip it up real high. Okay, let's all pray this prayer together. Dear God in heaven, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. Please forgive me of my sins and make me born again. I turn from my sinful ways and I surrender my life to you. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give these guys a hand that prayed that today. God bless you guys. Can I just ask Pastor Chris to come out the front? And those that raised their hand today, I want you to come up the front here. We're going to give you a Bible and some information about following Jesus. And we're going to open the altar right now. If you need healing in your body, maybe you have got a problem with taming your tongue and you want to confess your sin, you want to pray for someone to help you get set free from that. Maybe you need a breakthrough in your life and you need provision in some area. We'd love to pray for you. I'm going to call the prayer team forward and we'd love to pray for you today as we close the service. Just come to the altar. Come and get your heart right with God today. Come and receive healing today as we close the service. And just wanted to say, please get to know a few people. There's a whole bunch of visitors here today. Get to know some of our visitors here today. And if you want some prayer, come to the altar and we'll pray for you as we close the service today.